Welcome to Emmanuel Chapel. On behalf of the family and the friends of Rich Taft, we're so glad that you could join us this morning to celebrate the passing of Rich. And for us who are Christians, it is a celebration. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I think that as you remember and rejoice this morning, you will realize that if Rich was anything, he was a professing, believing Christian who trusted in the Lord alone for his salvation. Let's go before the Lord together in prayer. Almighty and gracious God, our Father in heaven, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lead us, we pray, to put our trust entirely in you. We come to you in the name of your only begotten and well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. Grant us, we beseech you, through his precious blood, peace and pardon and joy in the Holy Spirit. And seeing that we have in him a high priest who cannot be touched without the feelings and infirmities that we are touched, may we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in this our time of need. We thank you for the precious promises of your word. We praise you for the light of the gospel. We acknowledge your sovereign will and your infinite compassion. Be pleased, therefore, to look upon our sorrow, and for the sake of your dear Son, to grant us the consolation of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will enable us to hear your holy word, so that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we may have hope. Grant to us that we may hold fast our confidence in your forgiving mercy and the blessed assurance of eternal life. We ask these blessings of you, our Father, through him who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, who rose from the dead, and who is exalted at your right hand, even Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. You've been sitting for a while, so let me ask you to stand and sing with us, if you are able, number 460, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Promised good to me, his word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. And when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise.
Let's attend now to the reading of and the hearing of God's word as it's found in various portions of the Psalms, in Job, in the Gospel of John, and in 2 Corinthians. This is the word of God, who is the God of all comfort. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Will you join me in singing number 44 from the Red Trinity Hymnals? Number 44, How Great Thou Art. You may remain seated. Number 44.
Consider all.
Let's hear once again from the Word of God, this time from Psalm 23 and from portions of John chapter 10. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And then from John chapter 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand.
I'm going to take a few minutes now and give you an opportunity, some of you, to maybe say a few words about Rich. Rich came to our church in 2005, I think. We were having a yard sale here in the parking lot. Isn't that fitting? And Rich Taft showed up and stood back here behind the church and talked to me for about 45 minutes. Said he didn't have a church that he was attending at the moment. He came that Sunday, and he never left. 2 years ago, he was ordained a deacon in our church, and he has been ever since they came. He and Susan jumped right in. They were here every time the doors were open, just about. Rich had a love of the Word that really pleased this pastor's heart, and he was here at men's Bible study, and he and Susan were here on Wednesday nights studying and praying with us. He was often asking elders questions about what this text meant or that text meant. And pastor can never be sure of anybody's salvation. I can't judge your hearts, but I can judge your lives. And I can tell you by the fruit that Rich showed, he was a believer. He trusted in Christ for his salvation. And he will be missed in our congregation. Susan, did you have somebody that was going to speak? This is the time to come if you're going to say something for Rich.
I'm going to read this for Warren Taft, Richie's brother. His heart wrote it. When I was born, Rich automatically became my brother for life. On the light side, Rich would always joke and tell others that I think my father took the wrong baby. Who knows? We went through some separation and hard times during our adulthood, which we both resolved and put our differences behind us. Being brothers was more important than allowing these differences to separate us. Though trying times and through maturity, he became my best friend. We ended up being able to share all things together. Both Rich and I even had a kidney transplant 6 months apart. We would go for walks with each other in the mornings. Rich would push me to exercise and walk with him. He would never let me say no, and I will vouch to that. I will miss his 7:15 calls every morning. He would just call and say, "Are we walking?" We would always end our conversations with, "Love you." Rich loved gardening and did so as a child. Rich would work at the Taft Orchards picking apples. He worked his beautiful garden at his home and would sell his fruits and vegetables in the front of his house. I would ask him why he did these things, and he would just reply to me, "I just like doing them." He was a hard worker. Rich tried to turn me into a home farmer like himself by giving me strawberries and planting runners to stop my own bed. We can actually see them out our bedroom window. It wasn't working very well, though. But in a small way, Rich was just trying to share his life, I believe, with his brother Warren and vice versa. He will always be in my thoughts when I tend to the plants in my yard and every time I eat a strawberry. He would tell me of his many friends he had made while delivering Meals on Wheels, which he loved doing. I only had one sibling, my brother, and even though he is physically gone from here, he will always be in my heart and thoughts. When I walk every morning, I will think of him. He will be my brother for life. Last call, we walking, not today, Rich. We will walk when we see each other again. Love you always.
I'm not the longest friend that Sue and Rich ever had. Some would call him my neighbor, but he was more than that. He was so much more than a neighbor. We shared faith. We shared friendship. We shared love and so many other things. The one thing of which I am certain today is that Rich would want you to take from this, his community of faith. He would want you to take that our Lord and Savior Jesus loves you and you belong to him. Rich belongs to him. He is resting in his loving arms right this very moment. So please, if you take nothing from here, take that. We loved him. We will miss him. But we will never, ever forget him.
I've had a gift that I could always make people laugh. And this is probably one of the fewest times in my life that I don't feel much humor, because it just hurts so much to lose such a beautiful person who he knew how much he meant to me, and I didn't really realize how much I meant to him until last night when so many people sought me out in the funeral home to say, "Are you Dave?" The stories Richie would tell me about you too. And I had stuff written down, and I realized this morning that I'd just be repeating the same things that you all know of what a wonderful person he was, and he wasn't the type of person that would just, "Yeah, let's do that." No, it was, "If we're going to do it, we're going to do it." And when we met years ago, 28, 30 years ago, when he started at Benjamin Moore, Jack Bernardi, Johnny Villani, you know, Lars, Timmy, Billy A, and then Big Grant, we would go out every Thursday night and water ski and just laugh and have fun. And it was just so much fun to laugh and laugh and laugh. Benjamin Moore, you know how dependable he was. He never probably punched in late. He never called in sick. He always did his job. He was probably the guy you didn't have to worry about, because he did it all the time. Discipline is doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, to the best of your ability, all your life, in and out of your home or work or sports. And that's what he did. So I knew him when he lived in Minden, and we had a lot of fun. And somewhere down the road, we bumped into a martial artist, and we started studying Shaolin Kung Fu. History of China. He had a Chinese book, and we all started to learn to speak Chinese. So Richie, ni hao ma wa han hao shi si, dai jen. And somewhere along the line, we decided that we should get up at 4:30 and go work out and see the sun rise. And for about 6 months, we got up and did our exercises and our katas and our forms. So it wasn't just a little, let's do martial arts. It was a full commitment. We had a group of us that played basketball on Wednesdays and Sunday evenings. And every Sunday, are we going? Are we going? Just like Warren with the walking. And he knew a little bit about how do I, and I would teach him, and he became a nice player. Wasn't a gifted athlete, but he was one of the hardest working kids that played the game. Motorcycles, love that bike. He just went to Loudon with Jerry and Aaron because he loved NASCAR, totally committed to that. We would go to Bike Week up in Laconia and ride all over the mountains of New Hampshire. And his last day was a spectacular, beautiful day on that bike. Beyond that, 20 years ago, I met Pastor Rick. And he and Ricky had developed a relationship and started discussing Jesus Christ. And he was a golfer. Ricky decided he was going to be a good golfer, Richie. And you go to his house and he had the PVC pipe, big circle thing, and he would be standing in the middle of it learning the perfect swing, and he would hit balls into the net for hours so he could become a good golfer. Again, commit, follow, finish it up. And he just, then he met, well, let me finish the Rick story. So Rick says, I'd like you to come golfing with my pastor. And I looked at Rick a little bit because we all know I'm a little full of color. And after three hours and 18 holes of golf, Rick took his cross off. He said, Dave, I think you need this more than I do. And I have worn it on occasions. And he just had to. Then he met Sue, and we were out. And next thing you know, we were line dancing with cowboy boots and buckles and hats and boots, scooting boogies. And next thing you know, he asked her to marry her. And I can attest, as well as anybody in this room, that these were the happiest 20 years of his life. You two were a couple that we all liked, we all envied, we all enjoyed. You shared your house with us, and he's going to be missed terribly. Each and every one of you have that Richie smile or that Richie mannerism. And when you talk about a soft, gentle, years ago I was a Boy Scout. And we learned that a scout is, well, Richie Taft was, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So it is with great sadness that I miss my friend. Susan, Warren, and everybody in this room has a Richie Taft memory. He is a guiding angel looking down, watching over us, and he will do what he can do to keep us healthy and protect us in our life. And I hope your spiritual lives grow. It's been a pleasure to meet Rick and now Mark. And I asked him if I could attend some services in the future, and he welcomed me. We are going to support the arches and make sure the church is well when I walk through the door. Richie Taft lives in our hearts. Thank you. And you used all my material, so I had to wing it.
Thank you, brother.
But we love Rich.
Anybody else? I'm going to read from the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and a couple of verses scattered in through there. These are familiar verses to us, but this is the living word of the living God. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, it is also Christ who is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So far in the reading of the word. Let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning to mourn and grieve and celebrate the life of Rich Taft, we thank you, Father, for your word, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray that you will give us attention to it, that we might apply it to our hearts and so live to glorify the name of Christ, in whose name we come before you. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, maybe you remember the story of Jesus sending his disciples across the lake in a boat. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the lake, there was a sudden storm, and the boat is filling with water, and there is great danger and great fear. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was there in the back of the boat asleep, and they wake him up. And Jesus, it says there, arose and rebuked the wind. That is, he told the wind to hush. And there was a great calm. And then it says that Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" And when the storm hits us unexpected and in a sudden way, and when you have no answer to the why question, do you say to God, "You better give me one good reason why this happened, or else I'm done"? No, faith does something very different. Faith doesn't do that. Faith weeps, and faith grieves, and faith hurts, and faith sorrows. But then faith walks, and faith takes the next step, and faith remembers. Without having all the answers to all the questions, faith remembers that God is God, and that God is good. And faith remembers that God loves his children and never does anything to hurt them. Faith remembers that God sent his son Jesus to die for sinners like us. And faith remembers that Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life. And faith remembers that Jesus said he would never leave us and never forsake us. And I believe that. Without knowing all the answers to why, I believe that God is good all the time. And my faith is looking to Jesus because he is the answer to the ultimate question: what happens after you die? Are you ready? On Monday, October 13th, Rich Taft was taken from this world suddenly, unexpectedly. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 27, verse 1, that says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And a sudden storm came on us on Monday afternoon. And if you must ask the question why, I would remind you of Jesus' prayer in John 17, where Jesus prays this prayer, "Father, I desire that those you gave me may be with me where I am." Apparently, Jesus wanted Rich on Monday afternoon. He wanted Rich to be with him. And I'll miss Rich. I'll miss that handshake that made me feel like the most important person in the world. You felt that too. And I'll miss that smile that lit up a room. And I'll miss that willingness that he had to do the work that needed doing. And just like Dave has said, when Rich got a hold of a project, when he got a hold of an idea, remember, Tommy, how much he pushed you to get that screen porch done for me? And then he pushed you to get that front porch portico done? Because when Rich got something on his plate, he went after it and he finished it to the best of his ability. I'll miss telling him to slow down because he'd come to church and tell me how sore he was because he was rototilling all your gardens. And I told him, "You need to learn to say the word no." But Rich didn't seem to know that word. But if Jesus desired Rich to be with him, how can I want my will over his will be done? And so by faith, in sorrow, and yet with great hope, I must let Rich go. And Rich's passing is our loss and Susan's loss. But for Rich, it is gain. And we take comfort in this thought. Rich was a sinner. You don't maybe hear that very often at funerals, but he was, and he stood right in front of me and told me so. And he stood right in front of this congregation and told them so. But Rich was a Christian who believed that Jesus died for his sins and paid for his sins. And brothers and sisters, Rich was on loan to his family. Rich was on loan to his friends. Rich was on loan to his wife and to his church, and he finished his course in this world. And because of his trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he now walks among the saints who have gone before us. And our sorrow and our tears are a testimony and a measure of the love we have for the one who's been taken from us. But you need to understand that Jesus owns Rich more than we ever did. God called Rich before the world began to be a Christian, to be one of his sheep. And the grace and goodness of God that gave Rich to us, the same grace and the same goodness that's taken Rich from us. Romans 8:28 is a very famous verse. "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Afflictions have a way of getting our attention in a way that comfort never does. You can be very comforted and clueless, but when affliction comes, it suddenly gets your attention. And that fire of affliction is the surest way that gold is ever going to be purified. Christ himself was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And sometimes those afflictions that we go through make us take our hold off of this world for a few minutes, so that we might take hold of the next through faith in Christ. Because on the other side of this affliction, some days from now, some weeks from now, after God sets fire to the world of our comfort zone, Christians don't run away from him. They run to him. And they get closer to him. We don't run away from him. And in fact, the closer we get to him after such affliction, the more joy we find, and the sooner we find it. You see, just when we get a little too comfortable with this earthly life, the plow of James 1 verse 2 breaks up the clods of our pride and the solid earth of our comfort, and tells us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Because all of a sudden, when that trial comes, our world, our worldly smugness is shattered. And so just at such a time as this, we have to look to somebody. And we have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we'll find the comfort we need. Listen, Susan, and every soul who has ears to hear, put Rich and his death firmly in the hands of the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ, who loved us, who died for us, and who rose again from the dead on the third day. There's no stronger medicine for your broken heart than the full heart of Jesus. There is no other remedy for your sorrow than the hope of the resurrection. And that's where we have to look today. That passage in Romans 8:28 says, "For those who love God and are called according to his purpose." I didn't know Rich loved yard sales when he came into our yard sale and spent 45 minutes looking around and chatting with me, and he'd go off and see if he could find another bargain. A few minutes later, he was back chatting with me some more. And I asked him if he went to church somewhere. He said at the moment he didn't. So I invited him to church, and he came. And next week he came. And I think about the third week, he brought this woman, Susan. Or was it longer than that? The first week you came with him? I thought he came once by himself. Well, there you go. That's how my memory is. They came and they never left. And they were here every Sunday and a part of this church and welcomed in very warmly. His life showed his faith. He had a hunger for the word, as I said before, that blessed this pastor's heart. He was often heard to be asking Jason or Bob or somebody else, "What does this mean?" He was united to Christ in life, and he is united to Christ in his death. And nothing could ever separate Rich from Jesus. See, we as Christians believe that Rich is in the presence of the one who owned him from all eternity, and the one who will keep him for all eternity, and the one who will never let Rich go, because Jesus died to save him. And Jesus is the one who will never let his sheep go. Jesus is fully God and really alive and is surely coming again. And Jesus was sent into this world to bring his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. And heaven is the hope of every true believer. You see, we Christians are not Stoics. We don't believe in fate. We don't believe that whatever will be, will be. We believe that whatever God ordains is right. And Christians look life in the face, and we see the promise of blessing even in the shadow of sorrow. And Christians discover there in that promise of God a wise and loving God behind a frowning providence. And behind that frowning providence, we find the loving God who soothes our heart into patience and to lifts our heart into hope, to fills our heart with courage to keep going. Verse 18 of our text reads, "I do not consider the sufferings of this present time worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed." How many of you know that this world is not all there is? And those of you that are living like this world is all that there is, there's always tomorrow. And you don't know what's around the next bend. If you ask the people of this church how many times I've told them that you don't have a promise of tomorrow, I'm sure they would tell you it's more often. My wife used to say to me all the time, "Stop telling people they're going to die." And at least on 5 occasions at the back of the church, when she got to me first and said, "Stop telling people they're going to die," somebody came up and said in her hearing, "Thank you for reminding us of the brevity of life." Brothers and sisters, those of you who know Rich and have great and wonderful memories of him, tomorrow is coming. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Paul says here, nothing. Nothing can separate us. Not this sorrow. Not this sudden storm and tragedy. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, this light and momentary affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's something bigger than this life. And Rich believed in that. And it might be a sudden storm. That sudden storm might be the very thing that the Lord uses to bring us to glory. That sudden storm might be the very thing that wakes you up out of the stupor that you are in, thinking this life is all you have. James 4, verse 14, is a wake-up call. If you remember, James there in verse 13 says, you know, the businessman says, "Tomorrow we're going to go here and do that and do this and do the other." And James says, "You do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Your life is a vapor. Rather, you should say, if the Lord wills." J.C. Ryle was the Anglican bishop, conservative commentator and preacher. In his biography, it says that J.C. Ryle woke every morning and he went to the window and he said, "Maybe today, Lord. Maybe today." And every night before he went to bed, he went to that same window and he said, "Maybe tonight, Lord. Maybe tonight." Sunday after church, I said to Rich, "I'll see you Wednesday night." But God's ways are not our ways. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Are you ready? You have plans tomorrow, don't you? You have plans this afternoon, don't you? You have things to do tonight. You have a day timer that's filled with events and appointments for next week. Are you ready? I believe Rich was ready. And just because we don't know what tomorrow brings doesn't mean we shouldn't get on motorcycles and go riding, if that's what we love. I'm going to tell you again, Rich was a sinner, but he was saved by faith. He put his faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Rich was a Christian in word and deed. He believed the right doctrines, but he also lived the right life. And so all these things have worked together for good because Rich was called according to his purpose. I ask you again, are you ready? And I remind you as a gospel preacher to repent of your sin and to trust in Jesus Christ for alone for salvation. And if you do, you'll be ready for the sudden storm. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful God, we come again to you in prayer, acknowledging your sovereign power and your right as our Creator, both to give and to take away as seems good to you. We remember that all your mercies and your saving grace revealed to us in Christ your Son, our Redeemer. We thank you for our favor, for being shown the beloved friendship of bringing Rich to a knowledge of your redeeming love and granting Rich faith in Christ the Savior. And we humbly pray for your bereaved servants that you will give to us the meek and trustful submission to your will. May we have divine comfort through joy in the presence of your risen Christ and the enlightenment of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will fill the sorrowing hearts with your love, that they may wholly rest on you to bring eternal joy out of this present grief and to bring life from death through the power of your resurrected Son. We pray that you will grant us grace, those who remain, to imitate the righteous who have died in faith, who have had a loving service. Give us, we pray, perseverance to continue faithful to the end of our days, following Christ, so that we may finally be received into heaven through his sacrifice for us in our place and with all your elect. We adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. For as much as it has pleased Almighty God in his wise providence to take out of this world the soul of our departed brother, Rich Taft, we therefore commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And we look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come through our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose coming, in glorious majesty, the earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the mortal bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and made like unto his glorious body, according to the mighty working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. I encourage you to join us for some fellowship downstairs. There is a set of stairs that leads downstairs right here inside, and there is another ramp that enters the fellowship hall outside on this side of the church, and encourage you to join us and rejoice and celebrate the life of Rich. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.